The Lord's sweet presence and counsel is with us, heart dwellers. I wanted to bring something up before I got into the message. There's a young man by the name of Douglas, 25 years old, who had a four-wheeler accident and is in critical condition in Albuquerque, and he's been unresponsive ever since the accident, and they don't think he's going to make it, and he's unsaved. So we're asking for prayers for him. The name is Douglas. Thank you. Okay, today is September the 16th, 2015. And the Lord brought something up that's in a totally different vein than we normally talk about. So tonight, it was really funny how I started out the day today. As some of you may have noticed or may not have noticed, my last post was around 10:30 in the morning yesterday. And that meant that I didn't ever go to sleep. So I went to bed and I woke up and it was 7 o'clock. I saw the clock. It's at 7 o'clock. And I thought, great, it's 7 o'clock. Wait a minute. 7 o'clock. What day is this? 7 in the morning or 7 at night? So I woke up Ezekiel and I said, honey, is it 7 in the morning or 7 at night? I said that because he went to bed after I did. And he laughed and he said, it's 7 at night. So my schedule is way turned upside down and backwards. From that point on, I was really struggling to stay awake. And I've still been struggling to stay awake. So you'll understand a little bit about this dialogue between the Lord and I. After some time of worship, he told me that he wanted to speak to me. And so I came and sat at my computer and he said, welcome back. And I said, oh, Lord, press me to your heart. Where have you been all this time? Fighting to stay awake and concentrate on you, Jesus. Well, good job. Here we are. And I love you. I love you too, sweet Jesus, forever and ever. Oh, how I wish I could love on you constantly. Me too. That's a gift, isn't it? It is, he said with a twinkle in his eye. Jesus, would you please give me the gift of endless adoration of you? Oh, such a request makes my heart swoon, he said. You must give up all created things to be free enough to be with me on that level. Those who are willing to pass by their attachments to what people think, how they look in the eyes of man, what they enjoy in food and entertainments, those to whom the whole world is dead, I can grant this gift if they seek after it. It would seem to me, Lord, that there are people like that in the world. I know that even Ezekiel and I have felt that way at different times. Well, there are, but they don't desire me, and being so caught up in me that they voice that desire, or even consider asking it. But why? Why do you think? They feel unworthy? That's part of it, but partly because they never imagined that a gift like that could be had. But I'm here to tell them that it can. Lord, are you serious, or did I go off on a tangent? He sighed deeply, and he said, what do you think, Claire? I went to the Bible Promises and got Holy Spirit, but I really wanted to make sure it was the Lord. This is you. He continued, the gift of continuous contemplation of my goodness is available to all who ask. Yet there's a certain cost involved. They must be detached from the comforts the world can afford them. Well, like the traditional Christians of old, are you saying, even like Cuthbert, who stood in the ocean at night to stay awake and pray, and the otters came to keep him warm? When I said that to him, I decided I'm going to make sure it was Cuthbert that I heard about who stood in the ocean with the otters. When I went to the internet just to double check and make sure it was Cuthbert, I have my home page set to one of my favorite sites that has Ramus on it. And what it says was, the Celts were natural contemplatives and hermits who sought out rugged peninsulas or hidden woodland glades in order to be alone with God. Wow, when I heard that, my heart just, it just kind of fainted away, because that was the whole reason why we were up on the mountain for 5 years, was to live that more simple life, to be closer to the Lord. But I said, Lord, this is all I wanted when I lived on the mountain, to be free to pray and contemplate your goodness. What a confirmation. And he said, now don't go running off on a tangent. I'm not sending you back to the mountain. Aww. I'm simply telling you what is available to those who would believe. You must have faith, not works. In other words, it's not up to you, my love. This kind of grace, it's up to me. The only reason Cuthbert did that was so that he could be with me. His desire was so acute and burning. The very thought of falling asleep and losing consciousness of me was abhorrent to him. Do you understand? Wow. Yes, wow. He was that connected to me. So he was that connected to you, Lord, that he didn't want to fall asleep? Yes, out of force of habit, he surely was. Wow, can you imagine it? Just to imagine it is beyond comprehension. To look into the infinite goodness of God Almighty, the great and powerful one, to look into that and actually see and experience it, and not want to go to sleep, and doing all in your power not to fall asleep. Oh my, what a soul. Yes, there are yet unimaginable heights of glory to those who believe. The key is belief, not works. But if you believe, then you'll arrange your life in such a way as to be sensitive and respond to the grace, and sometimes even do violence to your wants and needs to accomplish it. Yes, but again, the key is still faith. You must believe that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. That's Hebrews 11:6. But don't you require of us that we'd be willing to do violence to our own carnal natures and deny ourselves sleep and food and comforts? Or is that just asceticism? And I looked up the definition of asceticism: severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. But asceticism can become an end in itself, and that's not good either. The end of anything should always be the Lord and his glory and obedience to him. But some people go off on their tangent and they think that living a life of asceticism is going to make them holier. But if it's not God's will, then it's not going to make them holier at all. It'll just make them prideful. So, you know, that's a point, a really important point to remember in all of this. Then the Lord continued and he said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Claire, my love, I want to fill you. Do you understand? This is not something I'm withholding from you because your performance level is low. No, I desire with all my heart to fill you, dear woman. So what's in the way, Lord? Do you really want me to answer that? You know I do, Lord. Simply your preoccupation with the world. I thought about that for a minute and I thought, okay, such as. And he said, what shall I eat? What shall I wear? Lord, I can't quite relate to that because I don't see all these preoccupations. It seems more like I'm constantly looking for ways to cut things out of my life that aren't necessary, so I'll have more time for you and things are more streamlined. And just as an aside, I read this to my husband before I recorded it, and he said, I can see it. You talk about food all the time. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm blind. I've got a blind spot. Anyway, I told the Lord, I don't see all these preoccupations. It seems more like I'm constantly looking for ways to cut things out of my life. He continued that sentence, and he said, and to find shortcuts to get those things done without having to invest your time, But even that begets trouble, because you must teach and supervise others. How much better would it be if you didn't need those things, or even consider them? Okay, but now we're talking about things like firewood. No, I'm not pointing to necessities. I'm pointing to superfluities. Could you please give me a list, Lord? But now here I am, petting my cat and quite pleasurably distracted. And I thought to myself, do you mean that, petting my cat? He said to me, do you know that your cat is better at contemplating me than you are? I said, no. Would I lie to you? No, you wouldn't lie to me. Well, consider then, they do not weave. They do not spin or think about what they'll eat for dinner, wanting something a little different. You know, a little variety in their menu. No, they eat, sleep, and contemplate. Their minds are simple, like a child's. So they're able to slip into a place of awareness of me that your complicated mentality does not permit you in this life. Just because you can't hear their thoughts doesn't mean they're stupid. What about the flowers that turn and follow us in heaven? They're not even animals, but are aware of me and of us. How can all creation groan if there's not an awareness of me? By the way, that scripture is found in Romans 8:22. All creation groans. How can all creation groan if there's not an awareness of me? They are not dense or elusive. You are. I said, wow, we're the crown and glory of your creation and we're dense and elusive? That's right. Because of your increased awareness and intelligence of how things work, you tend to get distracted into the finer details of life. But they are simple, like children, and it's much easier for them to be drawn into me. They have very little to think and question about. And man, in his quest for knowledge and power, has contaminated his mind to such a degree that he has walked a million miles away from me in daily practice. That is why more primitive cultures are closer to the spiritual world than the so-called industrial nations. Yet their intelligence is merely a mirage, because what is most important in their lives is overlooked. So in the last analysis, man, who sees himself supremely intelligent, is supremely ignorant of those things that matter to him the most, namely his abode in eternity. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his very own soul? That's Mark 8:36. Wow, Lord, this is deep. Yes, my love, it is. Therefore, the people who are the most scorned in the world are the ones who are most taken up with me. Under this category are the homeless, the native cultures, those who abandon the world to live a primitive life, like a hermit. That is, if they abandon the world for my sake, not because they no longer want to participate or they're lazy. There are two types here, those who abandon the world out of pain and inability to function in it, and those who function quite well, but still have chosen the better part. So I asked him, but what about leaving others behind and not contributing to society? He replied, it is a calling, my love. It is not something you take upon yourself. It is something I call you to. And with it comes a solemn responsibility to love and pray for humanity. We will speak on this more. I just wanted to plant these thoughts in your heart. I know your heart, Claire. I created it. I know the times of your life. I know what your deepest longings are. For now, take care of the flock entrusted to you and contemplate my glory. As you empty yourself more and more of your affections for this created world, I will open to you more and more the realms of glory. And for all of you brides, be assured the life lived in solitude and simplicity is a very specific calling. If you are not invited to it by me, it's a disaster. So don't make the mistake of wanting something because you think it's so holy. No, the only holy life for you is the one lived in obedience to my known will and your state in life. Yet we will talk more about this life at another time. In the meantime, my blessing is upon you as you learn of more and more ways to put away your flesh and yield your life and times to me. And I just want to add to this a serious caution, because I'm almost 70 years old now, and I know what that life in the wilderness is like. I know what it feels like to be yearning for that contemplative life where God and a simple, uncomplicated existence is everything. We've lived that life. We lived it for 5 years. But when we did it, we weren't totally free of entanglements with the world. And it is a calling. And I have to say that sometimes we see something that we think is holy, and we think if we do that, we'll be holier or we'll be more pleasing to the Lord. But nothing could be further from the truth. We can't choose our own way of holiness. We need to be submitted to the Lord. We need to be guided by Holy Spirit. When we make a choice to fast, for instance, we need to know that it's the Lord's will for us to fast, because someone can fast themselves right into insanity. Plenty of people that I have known have taken on 40-day fasts or other very strict fasts that put them in danger, and they came out of it a little bit on the ranting side instead of on the holy side, because it was something they chose to do more based on pride and their own opinion than out of obedience to the Lord. When you take up a fast in obedience to God, He moderates that fast so that it's healthy for you, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. But you can get so spiritually minded and so off into the spiritual world that you lose touch with reality. And that's not good either. The Lord wants us to be grounded. He doesn't want us to lose our minds. So that's just a caution about seeking after things that look holy and sound holy, but aren't meant for us. And it's not the season of our life, and it's not His choice for us. We always should yield to His wisdom and not to our own. When we yield to our own, it can become an idol. And you know what the Lord says about idol worship. The Lord bless you all, and I hope this teaching has been a blessing to you. It certainly opened my mind up, and I'm interested in seeing what the Lord has to say in the coming days and weeks ahead, if He brings it up then. God bless you, heart dwellers. Thank you for listening. Pray for us, as we pray for you too.